to walk, swiftly, fiercely, down Willow Street. At 10:30, the neighborhood was already tucked in for the night. Through the windows she passed, she saw the glow of lamplight, the silhouettes of families in various domestic poses, the occasional flicker of a fire in a hearth. She felt that old envy stir inside her again, the longing to be part of the same loving whole, to be stirring the embers of her own hearth. Foolish dreams. Shivering, she hugged her arms to her chest. There was a chill in the air, not unseasonable for August in Maine. She was angry now, angry about being cold, about being driven from her own home, angry at him. But she didn't stop. She kept walking. At Bayview Street, she turned right toward the sea. The mist was rolling in. It blotted out the stars, crept along the road in a sullen vapor. She headed through it, the fog swirling in her wake. From the road, she turned onto a footpath, followed it to a series of granite steps, now slick with mist. At the bottom was a wood bench. She thought of it as her bench, set on the beach of stones. There she sat, drew her legs up against her chest, and stared out toward the sea. Somewhere, drifting on the bay, a buoy was clanging. She could dimly make out the green channel light, bobbing in the fog. By now, he would be at her house. She wondered how long he'd knock at the door, whether he'd keep knocking until her neighbor, Mr. Lanzo, complained, whether he'd give up and just go home to his wife, to his son and daughter. She lowered her face against her knees, trying to blot out the image of the happy little Tremaine family. Happy was not the picture Richard had painted. At the breaking point was the way he'd described his marriage. It was love for Philip and Cassie, his children, that had kept him from divorcing Evelyn years ago. Now the twins were 19, old enough to accept the truth about their parents' marriage. What stopped him from divorce now was his concern for Evelyn, his wife. She needed time to adjust, and if Miranda would just be patient, would just love him enough, the way he loved her, it would all work out. Oh, yes, hasn't it worked out just fine? Miranda gave a little laugh. She raised her head, looked out to sea and laughed again. Not a hysterical laugh, but one of relief. She felt as if she'd just awakened from a long fever, to find that her mind was sharp again, clear again. The mist felt good against her face, its chill touch sweeping her soul clean. How she needed such a cleansing. The months of guilt had piled up like layers of dirt, until she thought she could scarcely see herself, her real self, beneath the filth. Now it was over. This time it was really, truly over. She smiled at the sea. "My soul is mine again," she thought. A calmness, a serenity she had not felt in months, settled over her. She rose to her feet and started for home. Two blocks from her house, she spotted the blue Peugeot, parked near the intersection of Willow and Spring Streets. So he was still waiting for her. She paused by the car, gazing in at the black leather upholstery, the sheepskin seat covers, all of it too familiar. "The scene of the crime," she thought. "The first kiss. I've paid for it, in pain. Now it's his turn." She left the car and headed purposefully to her house. She climbed the porch steps. The front door was unlocked, as she'd left it. Inside, the lights were still on. He wasn't in the living room. "Richard?" she said. No answer. The smell of coffee brewing drew her to the kitchen. She saw a fresh pot on the burner, a half-filled mug on the countertop. One of the kitchen drawers had been left wide open. She slammed it shut. "Well, you came right in and made yourself at home, didn't you?" She grabbed the mug and tossed the contents into the sink. The coffee splashed her hand. It was barely lukewarm. She moved along the hall, past the bathroom. The light was on, and water trickled from the faucet. She shut it off. "You have no right to come in here," she yelled. "It's my house. I could call the police and have you arrested for trespassing." She turned toward the bedroom. Even before she reached the doorway, she knew what to expect.